Cropod contains language and themes which may not be suitable for anyone, but what is suitable for everybody is the great stuff from our friends at The Famous, iconic wear for bears. Go check out thefamousheadwear.co.uk. Great stuff over there. And if you want to win some stuff from them, scroll down, hit the Buy Me a Coffee link in the show notes on this episode that you're listening to right now. We give away stuff from them every single month here on the Cropod. So check them out, thefamousheadwear.co.uk.
Questions?
Well, I'm going to take advantage of this rare opportunity, even if you children aren't interested. Which do you think is more important, hard work or stick-to-itiveness?
Are there any real questions?
Welcome back to another episode of the Cropod, rocking 2024 in style right here on the Cropod Network. And joining me, of course, David Edgar. Hi, David.
Hi, guys. Happy New Year. Happy New Year, both of you. Happy New Year to the listeners. There's bound to be a sort of couthy Scotch phrase I could slip in here to annoy fuck out people, but I'll content myself with the standard Happy New Year.
Yes. Yes, and Todd will be happy because coming up in the next 15 minutes, we've got a back-to-back rush.
Jesus. I love that you, it looks like the Wolfman Jack impression kit you got for Christmas is really working out for you.
It's coming up handy. You know what? First, I wasn't too sure what I could do with this, but no, it's working out quite well. How are you?
I am good. Good last episode that you guys had.
Yeah.
Couple of things. One...
I have some notes.
One, looks like I'm going to have to get you guys some decent Blackpink then. And they're a K-pop band. And
okay.
I did not know that.
I was like, is this a Bret Hart joke? I don't remember us going down that route last week. Yeah.
And I do love the proviso that you gave off the top. It's like, if you're waiting for Todd, he's not coming. It's just, who... Like, our listeners must number in the high zeros of people that go, Todd's not in, I'm out.
That is not true. I admit that if you go and see Nirvana, right, Chris Novoselic was probably not the highest priority, but you wanted him there.
Sure.
I know.
When,
yeah,
I'm the Larry of the Three Stooges here. I get it.
It's like one of those things that you know that you never like baking soda, right? You buy it, you never use it, but it's a comfort to know it's there.
It is.
Yeah, you gotta have it.
Yeah,
I do like picturing myself as the Larry.
Yeah,
you know, there you go. It's like how are you today, Todd?
Shane just pissed in my boot.
You promised him you would never mention that. You promised.
Once again, Todd will be gone next week.
Yeah, bad start to 2025. Right, anyway, my story, I was telling the lads before we came on. I've got a story that is going to annoy the two of them, folks. And probably some of you as well, but I don't care. So, Rangers versus Kilmarnock. First game of 2024 at Ibrox, and we were one of the sponsors.
Yes.
Heart and Hand. We were a thing they do called, there's three main sponsorships on the day. There's the match sponsor, the match ball sponsor, and the captain's sponsor. Right? So that's package that they give you, and obviously you get hospitality and, you know, you meet Tav and blah, blah, blah. So I never go when Heart and Hand get hospitality. I usually give it to the podders as a thank you. But this particular time, I thought, you know what? I was talking to my dad about it, and he's never been. And I thought, oh, right, he should go once, you know what I mean? And he's not getting any younger, so I'll go and I'll take my dad, because he wouldn't have gone if I hadn't. And I took my nephew as well, which is great. He's 15. And I was saying to the boys, I've just found out that his mum, my sister's boss, listens to this show. So hello, Anne's boss. remember, it's a circle of trust, mate, whenever you're talking to her about it. But we are going to the game, and I think, right, I'll do what I do. Whenever I'm going, to somewhere where there's going to be Rangers players, I lift a kit for Tav to sign, right? So I lift a kit. This season's away, for anyone who's interested. And I said, right, and I get my Sharpie, because, you know, it's a bit rude to hand them and say, have you got a pen, I think.
Yeah. Please don't be that person. Right.
But then, as I'm leaving, my mind, the way it works is, the man of the match will probably come in as well, right? Or maybe he won't, but that does happen. So what if it's Jack Butland? And being anal, you can't...
Well, you got to have a goalkeeper shirt. You can't have a goalkeeper.
Yes, you got to have a goalkeeper shirt.
Jesus Christ, man.
I'll just take...
What is wrong with you?
Exactly, right. So I thought, I'll just take the goalkeeper shirt just in case.
Yeah, so we
go in and, you know, I'm there with my dad with and some of the podders and they mocked me, lads. They mocked me. They're like, oh, what are you doing, bringing a goal? I said, well, you know, if I don't need it, I'll take it. Oh, it's not going to do any bother, is it? But there was mocking. And we're in, and at the end of the game we've won, everybody's very happy. Tav comes in and he has, we don't pick the man of the match, by the way, or it would have been Jack Butland. But Tav comes in.
Brought this goddamn shirt. I'm going to get it fucking signed.
Tav comes in and, you know, brilliantly for my reputation as cool uncle, he comes in, he says, hello, David. Well, that's it now, right? My Tav now. And he's like, how do you know him? I said, just, they see me at press conferences. Not about, we're not friends, unfortunately, yet. But
he hasn't seen me in the bushes yet.
Yeah, not yet, you know. So we're standing, and the lady from hospitality says...
Hundreds of Tesco gift cards left unanswered so far.
Yeah. So just checking in, just I'm breezy. Hi, James. But anyway, the girl gets us all together, the girl from, or the woman, being shown my age there, gets us all together for a group photograph, right?
Sorry, we're down to 6% there anyway. So.
Yeah. So in comes, as we're standing there, we get photobombed by Jack Butland.
Oh, jeez.
Who saw the photograph being taken and decided he would photobomb it. So he cut and I've got the photo and it's all of us lined up with Tav in the center and behind him you just see Jack Butland coming in the room waving his arms and I got him to sign my shirt.
Beautiful.
So, by the way,
beautiful.
He is the most, you know, we spoke last week about Adam and the Cyril Dessers moment. This is mine.
Yeah.
He is see everything you think Jack Butland is.
Right.
He is. And
yes.
And he smells divine.
No, he's the missing Hemsworth. Oh. Like
the women that were there, I'm not kidding, by the way, all of them turned into all these kind of strong, you know, women. There's women from other businesses and stuff. It was like something out of a fucking 1930s comedy, right? The eyelashes started to flutter and my God.
Nobody told me we were having pollock for supper here. What's going on?
Yeah. It was a wonderful experience all in. Cost me a fucking money, right enough. So it's beans. Sure. It's beans for the rest of the month, but worth it to meet Jack.
No, yeah. I can relate to the women getting all gobsmacked by men of a particular beauty, because a friend of my wife's invited us down in Toronto when we were living there to a Toronto Wolfpack game, which is the rugby league outfit.
Yeah,
it was destined to fail. Let's put it that way. It's like, yes, we're joining the British Rugby League. Hope you like flights. So the way they would do it is
it's worked great for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
So. Oh, for sure. Yeah. So the way this worked is like Air Transat was a sponsor. So they would fly over for the first half of the season when it was nice and warm and sunny in Toronto. They would fly over for the first half, all of the home games, and then Toronto would go there and play all the away games.
Jesus.
So we got invited to a rugby league and I've never seen rugby league. I know very little about rugby league. So we're taking the bus on the way down there and I'm on my phone. My wife is like, what are you doing? She's like, I'm reading the rules. That's what I'm doing because I want to know what's going
on. It will mean nothing to you after you get done with it.
Exactly. I'm just
that sport, and I still the ball can't be thrown forward and don't drop it.
It's all lateral, and then here's my thing about rugby, and I think having watched the Wolfpack, I kind of did it. It's like I always wanted to watch it in the company of someone who understood rugby because I think I understand it, and then the referee blows his whistle, and then I don't understand it. So this kind of help and stuff. And so I get there and we meet my wife's friend, and she takes us to our seats, and they're great, wonderful seats in Lampard Stadium. It's beautiful, sunny, and there's craft beers everywhere. It's like, oh, it's really fun. And then the players hit the field, and then I realize why we were invited to this thing. It's so that my wife and her friend could start loading the spank bank, because there is 22 guys that look like Aquaman and Thor just running around bashing each other. And I was like, I am immaterial to this. I'm just going to go find a beer then.
Yeah, they're hard as fuck, rugby league players.
They were loading the spank bank like it was a 12-gauge shotgun. It was like, here we go, and here we go, and here
rugby
we go.
Rugby league in the UK, what they did was they took rugby union and they went, but it's violent. But is it, could it be more violent?
Could it be more violent? Yes. You know what I mean? It was like the XF, the original XFL.
Right.
Yeah.
I was looking for it on TV because I stumbled across it last year. Was the Mexican League two leg final? Mm. And the Mexican League took the laws of the game and looked at this heavy tome and went, well, we're not doing all of this. Just it is like roll around.
Playing a Mexican restaurant workers league one time.
Yeah.
One time.
Well, that's the last bastion of football as our grandfathers played it. Whenever you get the chance, folks, watch on whatever channel carries it, there will be a channel that will carry South American football highlights.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And you watch, now we see all these wonderful players and they come to Europe and they are amazing, and you see them play international and they are amazing. But what they don't tell you is that the guys who stay back home tend to not be the attackers, right? The attackers tend to leave and go abroad. Yeah. And the reason for that is health. Because if you watch, say, the Argentinian league, there'll be twinkle toads and this is a 17-year-old they've got high hopes for. Manchester City are already plotting a 60 million bid.
He's had seven surgeries on his ankles, I reckon. Yeah.
And the ball goes to this tiny little kid, and he's got the amazing right eye, just the low center of gravity, and he shimmies and he spins. And then as he approaches the opposition defense, four what can only be termed as bastards approach him and boot the living shit. I mean, it's over the top. I saw one the other week. Boy just comes running for about 15 yards, 2 foot leap, full on. It smashes the boy in the ankle, yellow carded. It goes to a Varchek. It goes to Varchek, yellow card.
Yeah. Morales' first fucking game back, if anybody wasn't watching, within 4 minutes. You want? I mean, it would have been a red card in any other league in the world.
Yeah,
like, a half a yellow, maybe.
And because we've got it in our head that the South Americans we tend to see are the forwards,
Ronaldinho.
And even the defenders are the ball playing ones, or Cafu, or guys like that, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. What is left behind, right, are basically murderers.
Many of them are, allegedly.
It's basically like the Argentinian junta, right, now plays for River Plate as their back four.
There is stuff to that. I mean, like, not everyone sort of like wriggles out of the net nicely. It's like, you know, you're watching like Neymar and Gavu and like all these guys, and then suddenly you just turn around and go, look at the ass on Hulk. Like, what the fuck? Why does that happen?
It's why I laugh, though, whenever, you know, a South American player gets signed in Britain, they say, oh, I don't know if he'll be able to handle the physicality. He will be able to handle the physicality, mate. Right. Basically, to score a goal in his native land, he has to go by six guys holding straight razors.
Yeah, they are like Rorschach in Watchmen. I am not locked in here with you. You are locked in here with me.
Let the games begin. Yeah, I mean, it's wild, but it's still, there's still something about it, isn't there? That even with all the football that's on at the moment, there's something special. Maybe it's the ticker tape and the absolute madness that takes place in the stands.
Maybe I don't have to talk about VAR for fucking six months a year.
I will go back to the Mexican League final because it was home and away, and like the the second game was played in a stadium not unlike Ibrox, like it was the big team always wins down there,
Club America, or
the one with the tiger.
Tigers. Oh yeah, Tigers.
Yeah. So Tigers. The hint's in the name, Tom.
Right, I know. It's like that. You know, the one with the striped animal. The what is it?
The Ligers.
Ligers. So they weren't in it. So it kind of opened the field, and so it was these two teams that you kind of had not heard of. And the second stadium that they played in was like pretty great. Like it reminded me very much of, you know, on the face of it, like kind of like Ibrox or like one of those kind of larger stadiums. And the first stadium they played at was basically like old Brockville. And in the corners, they had riot police with shields. And I was like, oh, this must be to keep the fans out, you know, just in case, because they're going to get rowdy, because it's very easy to kind of...
No, it's to keep the players from getting to the fans.
Yeah. Oh, no. You are so close, though. It's for corners, because the fans rain down garbage on whoever is taking things. So the guys come in with shields.
Like a Roman shield wall.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I looked at the early days of Toronto FC with the toilet paper, which was stupid and juvenile, and I loved every second of it. Mm. And... I look at that and I just went, fuck, we have no game at all. That, like, they're throwing carburetors you know, there's sinks and toilets.
Again, when I played in the Mexican Workers League down there in Knoxville, at the time the guy went, I was like, he's going to get the gun. Yep, he's getting the gun. I'm getting in my car. I'm not playing this week. And about six other people might not be either. So
they take it a touch seriously. It's fair to say.
Yeah, just a bit.
There's a brilliant thing when River Plate play Boca, right? Whoever the away fans are, rather than being allowed to travel across the city, which I think takes about 40 minutes, right, to get on their buses to be taken there as an away support, they are made to go right out the other way of the city, drive right around
all the way around,
like by the way, and come in this one other entrance. It takes them 4 hours, right? Yeah. And that is because if they are spotted at any point in the 40 minutes, they'll get murdered. That's the reason the cops do it. I do have to laugh when we talk about, you know, atmospheres and stuff in the UK. And we do think, you know, we've got some great atmospheres, but the idea that we have a monopoly on madness, I think, is...
No.
Yeah, see, the thing, limbs down there literally means there's machetes coming out and limbs flying in the air.
Someone has jumped. Something is happening. And it's like I said, just watch it because the spectacle, at least once every one of these highlights packages, you'll go, Jesus, after somebody's been massacred. And they still have the good common courtesy to stand up and look absolutely appalled as they're standing there, walking to the referee over the severed limb of their opponent, going, What?
Me?
What?
He still has bits of the guy's ankle on his socks.
I was roughly in the vicinity of the postcode of where he was stood, and you're calling that a foul?
It's like a Jackie Kennedy on the flight back to DC.
Where? What position do you play? Back into the left. Back into the left.
God. Nice. Sorry, nice. Too soon.
Too soon. Yeah, exactly. Too soon. You know, that's
I'll tell you. So my New Year's has started with the Tennessee football win, which was very nice.
Yeah.
Especially after Saturday. Yeah, very, very comprehensive. 35-0 shutout of Iowa there. Mm-hmm. But then, literally about from the moment I got home from the bar and up until and including right now, I'm still like sweating. I have been violently ill out of both ends. So it's been a great start to 2024 here for me so far.
I would say, if not for the fact that Sal has come down with a third bug in a row, just one of these bad ones a lot, but I had done so well, right? Because the first one I was coming out of being ill myself, so I had a lot of sympathy. The second one I thought, that's really unfortunate. Now
it's starting to cramp your style a little bit,
right?
Now it's like, I feel so ill. The phrase, "and what the fuck do you want me to do about it?" is marching to my lips with unfounded confidence about the impression it's going to make. But, you know, I'm trying all this stuff. I was like, "Yo, can I get you anything?" And she's like, "Yeah, you can get me." And being Sally, you know, anybody else to say, "Oh, could you make me some soup with her?" It's like, "Can you make me a fucking, you know, the most complicated dish that was ever invented by a human?"
No, I can't. You got some pad thai over there? I can't heat up a meat pie in a microwave.
Here is your soup, right? You know, eat your soup.
David, you order out from Greg's, right? You're the only person.
That is no joke. I do. Yes.
Of course you do.
There's a local.
You have ass wipers, for fuck's sake.
Yeah. Why would I go down the town? Right. Okay. Well, fuck, actually, I've got a real laziness. Any minute now, right? Because we are recording just a behind the curtain look. It's currently 3:25, right? On Thursday afternoon. So there you go, people. Mm-hmm. You've got me right. Now, Sally is very ill. Was to take the dog to the vet, but she couldn't go this morning because she was ill, right? And I was asleep.
Sure.
So she said to me, "We've got an appointment for the dog at 3:45. And I said, "Don't worry about it. I'll take care of it." And I have.
Yes, you called the dog walker to come
we'll
get
the dog. We'll be arriving in about 4 minutes, right? And we'll do it live on this show. You'll be able to hear it, right? We will do this actually in the show.
A treat for the listeners.
Yep. When David arrives, right, I will go and I will get take him through and I'll keep the mic on and you'll be able to hear. And Sally said, "I can't believe you've done that." And I said, "I told you I would take care of it. I did not say."
I didn't specify that I would be the one. No.
But okay. She, from married to an Italian as I am, taking care of it when you're talking about having a problem.
That's true. It doesn't always imply directly that you would be the one.
It's like
to provide
a
the
shot
final
rings
solution
out. To this. No worries about the dog, hon.
As I said, Father Ted. When you said you would take care of it, I didn't mean it in quite such an Al Pacino way.
Yeah, I'm kind of worried. What was it? Not this past night. Because, well, unlike David, it's only 9:25 in the morning here. So not last night, but the night before, you know, in the midst of not sleeping for more than like an hour and a half at a time, because you got to get up and go do business and everything. Make deposits, as it were. I woke up at one point around 3, and not only like I've got to change my clothes every time I wake up because I'm like sweating, you know, I've got a fever going and everything. It's just it's unpleasant, very unpleasant. Mm-hmm. But about 3 minutes after I woke up, I'm sitting here trying to get my bearings still, and I heard a gunshot, which was exceedingly close. Like, because again, I'm pretty good at determining where range and how far. This one was close enough where I kind of like laid back down to get my head below the window level, which was good because about 15 seconds later, another one followed up. And from that one, I determined, well, it's actually on my block at some point.
Jesus.
And then another one and another. But seeing as, you know, at that point, it was about 3:30 in the morning or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Back for police. Yeah. They're all in bed.
We would, of course, like to welcome all the NARSA members that are coming in this summer. Have a great time.
So, like I said, it's up to them what they want to do, everybody. I know, like, a couple people have asked me. They said they're going to make a decision. So, I'm leaving it in NARSA's court till they figure out what the hell they're doing. And if they decide not to do anything in general, we can still do this thing here. I don't care. But I don't want to step on anybody's toes over there. It's not my position to do so.
Shane, all I would say, right, is, and I think we know this, there's no way to prevent this in the only nation where this happens regularly.
No.
Yeah.
No way.
Absolutely
not. No. Yes. Not prayers, wasn't there a guy in Liverpool the other day or something walking around with a...
Yeah, in a cinema. He shot it, but again, sort of amateurishly, you know. Your lads.
Olympic
gold medal standard. You would have killed dozens, right? In a crowded cinema. He didn't even kill anyone. So
what an amateur.
Well, exactly. Jesus. We're just absolutely rubbish at it. But there's nothing you can do about it. It's just and remember, guns don't kill people. It's people with guns who kill people.
Yes.
So that's important to remember. Hug your luck. But see what you're saying, though.
I've been looking at the police flyer ever since. I haven't seen anything coming up. So the only thing I'm kind of waiting on now is, like, you know, when the coroner shows up at one of the neighbor's houses in a few days and pulls out like four bodies because it was a murder suicide or something. Oh. And I'm going to be like, God, man.
We've got a murder house in the neighborhood.
Oh, cool. Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, we've got one here. I mean, it's pretty, the guy murdered his whole family.
Right. So. Oh, no. This is not. This was like an old woman that had, I think, a relative or just someone living in the house with them. Hmm. And no one had seen the old lady for a while. And so it turned into like the last scene in Psycho for the crime unit. Yeah. So they've bundled him away. And he was weekend at Bernie's her pretty hard. So
yeah, we have one here.
Jesus.
What one here? There's one here downtown. It was actually a relation to an ex, but they were meth heads or whatever. Whatever kind of drugs. They were doing a lot of drugs in a very hoarder looking type house. And apparently at one point, a pile of garbage. Well, this is what they allege anyway, but a pile of garbage had fallen over on a gentleman who was also there doing drugs with them. Mm. And they didn't recognize this until after it was too late, which seems like, none of this really adds up. But anyway, even at that point, instead of, calling emergency services, you don't even have to dial 911 at that point. You could dial the non-emergency number. They don't do that. They took the body and put it in a plastic trash can in their child's closet,
oy,
where it was left until it was, just like a gooey, gooey. Gremlins get wet, sort of a thing. Yeah, kind of looked like that, apparently.
Oh, that is actually properly vile.
Yeah, no, very disgusting. And again, of relation to, it was...
that is actually proper.
And it was right next door to one of the pubs downtown. Not one that's on the list if we do the thing.
Yeah.
That is right out of Breaking Bad. Call the woman a skank, get an ATM dropped on your face. Bad.
Yep. Maybe you can add that in as a sort of experience, because whenever you go in.
We can do the tour of.
Never mind that. No. Do sometimes you get taken on a brewery tour and you sample the rails. You could take us to a meth house.
Right.
Yeah.
And
plenty of options. I got enough that we could break out into small groups. And then we could all come back and compare notes.
Small discussions and stuff.
Yeah.
I'm not sure after sampling meth I could read that well.
It does take the day out of you.
Does it? Yeah. Cancel the plans for the afternoon.
The next day and the night.
Yeah, I think I have a feeling. Also, I think it's quite
well. It's ironic because on that you have no feelings whatsoever. So,
I've heard that it's quite once you dabble in it, you tend to end up looking like I don't even know. Tend up to look like a tree that shed its bark by the end. See any drug, by the way, folks, that causes your skin to fall off? Don't take that drug.
Oh, it's not a good one.
No.
There are narcotics out there I have sampled and went, oh, we're never doing that one again. Because that's not.
Well, see, that one I got by accident at one point because, we'd run out of another powdery-like substance that people partake in.
Mm-hmm.
And, it was like 4 o'clock in the morning. And we were at a house party with people that we trust. And somebody who I trust was like, oh, I got some earlier. And we were like, oh. That's wonderful because, it's only 4 a.m. and that's way too early, obviously. Yes. Yeah, no, it ended up being that. And I thought my heart was going to fucking explode. No. it's within like 30 seconds, too. I was what was that? And he said, I said, okay, let me, where did you get that? And he told me the name of a bar that has a certain reputation down for maybe.
Selling. Yep.
Yeah, not the most clean of products that you can acquire in certain,
basically toilet cleaner.
I took mine and I rode the wave and it was great and I was having arguments with guys in prison. This is all in the Glasgow bar. This is all in the Glasgow bar because one of our sketchy friends said, "Hey Todd, have you ever tried this?" And I'm still jet lagged and buzzing.
Yeah,
from
why
the,
not?
The,
yeah,
fuck the it. Negri. So I'm like, when in Rome, yeah. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And but
ironically, you woke up in Rome. It was
yes. I don't know how it happened. And then yeah, I remember being kind of three quarters through it, and I was like, this just leads to writing a lot of songs in the 80s with the word running in the night through it. And I just don't need that. I don't have really great sitcom ideas right now. I don't have that. No, I certainly am not animated on stage enough. So that's...
Do you know what the consequence of that sort of stuff is? It's Metal Machine Music by Lou Reed. Not only right. The composing of Metal Machine Music by Lou Reed, but the only time in your life where you will put it on and go, hey, that's quite good, Diana.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah, yeah, nailed that shit.
Well, wow. Well, apparently it removes the higher end of your auditory senses.
It removes all of your senses. So,
yeah. But like it really targets the upper end, like the kind of the like if you're looking at the speakers, like the tweeters don't work. So that's why a lot of 80s music was very treble forward because they couldn't hear it.
Right.
Yeah. And so yeah.
See, people think we just talk shit on this show, but we're both educational and then
by the, look at the public knowledge you just got here, kids.
If we don't do crank,
or else you might end up in a rat cover band.
Yeah. Exactly. Right? Yes. and how will that go round and round? Listen, if we do have younger listeners and they're wondering what we're talking about, and if you ever, I would say this: go onto YouTube just now and find the video for Animotion's Obsession.
Yes.
That is what cocaine looks like and sounds like. That is just, it's a pile of cocaine with a keytar. That's all it is.
There has been one good record made on cocaine in the history of rock music, and that is Rummel's. And that is that's the only one.
Yeah.
David
and
Bowie
by the way, the most uncocaine sounding album.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
But David Bowie in the 80s, David Bowie was so high on cocaine that he formed Tin Machine, for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
Right? You know, I mean,
him and Jagger thought that was a good idea. Like, right. You know, there you go.
I just hear Alan Partridge going, oh, you mean Tin Man, the best band since Wings.
But it's not a great creative thing because you just end up sitting talking shit and you're so confident that the shit you're talking is the most impressive shit of all time.
Oh, yeah.
And that you just think, right, this is absurd. People need to hear this. They don't need to. There's a great Half Man Half Biscuit song called What Made Columbia Famous. And the chorus is, "What made Columbia famous has made a prick out of you." And I think that's all
Fredo Morales?
It's not a creator's character. Absinthe apparently is, but you might cut your ear off.
Sure.
Yeah, I don't.
Don't cut your ear off. If you have the choice between cutting your ear off and not cutting your ear off,
typically, for the
I will say this: great Dutch art. It's good. It's good.
Eh.
What, you don't like little? You don't like flowers that are kind of flowers? Come on, fuck off. It's great. It's great.
Yeah, we're gonna use. All right, just to put a time constraint on us talking about this shit, because I do want to bitch just for a minute about football, right?
Oh, yeah.
But this will work because it'll take us right into the halftime, and then we have to stop because I don't do extra time on this shit, right?
No, there's no added time.
We're at the half, so
it's Willie Coleman in an Old Firm game. There's no added time.
Fuck. Okay. First of all, I've talked to anybody again, you can go back and listen to Ultra. Well, I did like five specials on this about how it doesn't matter because the officials are still they're bad. We have really, 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 really bad officials, and it doesn't matter what tools you give them to execute things. No.
Right.
The other thing is that it's systemically bad.
We gave them monkeys
rifles. Yeah. Oh, God. But, I mean, it's set up to be – the SFA does not invest in officials. David, I me and you did a show about this, another expensive one. If we paid them and made them full-time and, like, you know, they had to do training courses and ongoing learning and all the kind of stuff that you would expect
you do
from match officials, certainly in the top flight – you know, or at least in the top two divisions.
Where you get marked and graded and people say, yeah, like, are you performing and are you good enough to maintain, you know, like in a job. Like in any job, right?
Well, you know, and it was kind of funny because the NFL had a very prominent example. If people were watching the end of the Lions-Cowboys game last week, that was a fucking train wreck. And they came out right away and said, this crew will not be doing any games in the playoffs because they fucked that up. Now, in a rather funny twist, they went ahead and assigned them to a primetime game the very next week, which is, you know, whatever. I mean, it's fuck it. But did that. Now, but again, my biggest problem remains the lack of our emphasis in driving any kind of narrative. And I know, you know, David, you guys had the thing, all the quotes yesterday and whatnot. And I've tried to follow along, but I'm trying to stay off Twitter and everything here lately.
I get it.
But, you know, trying to get the sound, the audio, right, which we knew wasn't going to happen. Well, and beyond that, too, the more important thing is who from the SFA gave them the graphic and everything for the offside, which wasn't relevant, and two, doesn't matter. But now, like, we're going through this shit now where, you know, because Rangers have indicated that having Willie Colum available and any other matches going forward would not be preferable. Right. Where all the goddamn bullshit websites that we're all fucking used to, whether it's, you know, all the fucking Tim ones or Pie Bavaro or fucking whatever, are coming out and being like, oh, you know, but if a club's going to dictate who can officiate their games and shit. Now, I'm sorry, this is not a first-time problem. And David, you would probably be the one who would know this. Didn't David Haye come out in the 80s and specifically say that Bob Valentine should not be officiating any more matches to do the Celtic? In the 1980s, right? Yeah. So 40 fucking years ago. had this.
Yeah, but also Dougie MacDonald, and it's exactly the same situation. It wasn't the decision.
Well, I'm sorry, Willie Colum, was that last year or two, whatever it was, the one old firm where he kind of might have did something that fucked them, even though it was actually within the letter of the law, which was goddamn amazing, was getting death threats from their fans and their board calling for him to never officiate another old firm match.
Yeah, and I mean, this is the issue. Look, the problem is, and we've said this from minute one, right? Willie Colum can make that decision. It's the wrong decision. We will, as Rangers fans, feel we've been screwed over, and that is a different thing entirely. But he can make that decision. But once he's made it, he has to then stick to it. It is entirely to do with this. Well, where did this offside idea come from? Who decided to send that to the broadcaster? The other thing I find really interesting, Shane, and you know, Shane has a lot of court reporting experience, folks, right? Of actual, and I'm not suggesting that. I'm just saying though that the thing that might have piqued your interest too was the fact that Rangers want the audio released having heard it.
Yeah.
Now that doesn't indicate to me that Rangers think that once people hear it, that they'll go, "Oh, fucking Rangers," you know, talking
to us. I mean, like 48% of the fans in Scotland.
But it kind of indicates that it really, really backs up their point. So I think, you know, I get this.
Just to take Willie, he should not, obviously, at this point, ever be involved in any officiating decisions. I mean, if your organization had any modicum of how to hold officials to account, right? Set aside everything we've already talked about. That decision itself, according to the laws, has to be a decision that is reviewed on the field by the match official.
Correct.
Yeah.
Didn't do that either, right? And we knew when we saw the official's assignment for that goddamn game, we knew if there's any way that Walsh and Colum can contrive with their own made-up laws to do something fucked, which they did, we were going to get it.
Well, here's the simple question. Here is the simple thing, lads, right? And it comes down to this.
They're all bad. They're all terrible.
That's sort of the branch I'm sitting on with this. It's basically, okay, SFA, you're really happy with your officials, right? Publicly, anyway. We don't know what goes on behind closed doors, but publicly, you're happy, right? How many of your officials will be involved in this summer's expanded 9,500 game where we need a lot of officials, European championships? And the answer to that question is none.
Well, and Colum used to be on that roster.
Right. So, UEFA has downgraded him because he's that bad.
He's so bad. And this is the problem. And, you know, people say about, I don't believe, I mentioned, and Shane mentions, and Todd's done it, that we mentioned about full-time refs. People go, oh, that won't solve everything. No, it won't solve everything. But clearly, and remember, these guys get paid £1,000 a game. Mm-hmm. It's not chicken feed. A part-time job that gives you maybe £40,000-£50,000 a year is pretty good. And it tells me, would there be people willing to go in and train and become referees for a salary of £50,000 a year? You're fucking right, there would be.
£50,000 is no longer a side hustle. No! Like that is an actual job.
No.
And here's the thing. To your point of this is on the in the laps of the SFA, we are now at a point where they are either unwilling or somehow unable to fix this. And I'm steering more towards the former than I am the latter, because the path is there for them to fix it. They are consciously
never underestimate the stupidity and lethargy of people running the game in Scotland.
Mm. Oh, no. I mean, just look at the people. Look, we went from a cricket guy to a guy who was, a chairman of a League One side, right? Yeah, right. I mean, like, those are the people in charge of running the organization.
Yeah.
Absolutely, you know.
Well, you know, and I, the other thing, though, that sometimes can happen, Shane, very vocal critic of the board. I've criticised when I thought they've got stuff wrong, like Sydney or whatever, right? So the idea that people don't criticise them. But there's also the unrealistic expectation that some of our fans have. And they'll say, I'm disappointed in what the club has done here. But what do you want them to do? And one that I kept hearing was, go to court. Okay. Why? How?
Why and how?
What is the civil infringement?
Cut to the Hague. What the fuck is this?
And I know it comes from a good place. It comes from people saying, well, this is unfair and something should be done about it, and then getting frustrated because nothing can be done about it. But there's also a two-way thing. I mean, somebody said to me yesterday, oh, this is fan media's fault because you don't hold the board to account. And I said, listen, mate, here's the thing. Do you want to know why Celtic have got an advantage over us? And he was like, how? And I said, because of you. And he's like, well, what do you mean? I said, well, what have you done? And he's like, what do you mean, what have I done? I said, what have you done? Have you written to the SFA? Have you joined a supporters group? Have you formed a supporters group? Have you got stuff out in the public domain? Have you set up a protest? He's like, no, I'm too busy. I can't do all that stuff. And I'm like, and that's the difference. They go and do stuff. We complain about others not doing stuff.
Well, the other thing, too, and I've harped on about this now for years, is that our ex-player, our voices, or the people who are supposed to be our voices in the media, instead of any kind of collective organized effort coming from the top, which, again, is part of the long-term failure of successive PR, the people who run the messaging and communications output from the club, right? When you keep changing shit all the time, this is the kind of shit that you end up with. We have never built a sustained profile the way they have, that we hammer these points to fucking death in the media constantly. Instead, who are some of our most proud? We get Chris Boyd out there, who all he ever does is give bulletin board material to whoever the fuck we're playing that week, right? Mm-hmm. He says the most obvious thing, Aberdeen only show up against it. Well, yeah, we all fucking know that, but you don't, what does you saying it actually do, Chris Boyd, right? Yeah. I mean, all it does is feed into their fucking mentalist state that they want to perpetuate anyway and give them more stuff to show up. Mm-hmm. It's
the only way that changes. I look at all the significant changes that have occurred in sports. And one of the biggest ones that changed was the names of teams in the NFL and MLB and CFL even. And it's
Blackhawks holding out, baby.
Holding out. As I understand it, they actually talked with the First Nations people there, and they said, no, it's cool. That's how I understood
that. Yeah, well, because I don't even want to go.
It's side issue. Side
pointless issue. Sidebar right now.
But the only reason, like a lot of people think, oh, this is a fan. It's like, no, it wasn't. It was Nike said, people stopped buying our shoes because of this.
Yeah.
And I think that's the only way.
There's no money in Scottish football because of how fucking poorly run it is. So, again, there's no impetus there. For them, because nobody cares to hold an account. I mean, that's it, right?
Like, we need to find...
What's the possible outcome for us at the end, right? Because all there's four matches a year that we have to win, and everything else should shake out well enough in the league that we're the champions, right? I mean, that's it, okay? So if there's no other, I mean, there's no product to sell, right? Obviously, TV companies don't want the shit because they give us worse contracts every single time, and they're more than happy to take them. Mm-hmm. So, again, I mean, if they're from the top down, the SFA is happy to accept mediocrity at every single different aspect at every level of the sport. Officiating is just one more problem. Mm-hmm. And sadly, you know, obviously it's a very prominent one because they can put it up on Sports Scene and spend fucking weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. You know, like we're going to set a record for most matches without a penalty. Well, no, that's not true because here's an actual list of that you could Google in about 3 seconds. But instead, we've got assholes on the fucking radio respouting this shit because this is the messaging platform that Celtic have set up that the SFA allows to perpetuate because they can't be bothered to do their fucking jobs because they don't need to. They're all getting paid. What's Doncaster getting paid? $400,000 a year? For what? Mm-hmm. What does he do? You know?
Would you buy a used car from that man?
No! Fuck God! I wouldn't buy celery from that man. I don't even know what the fuck that means, but I wouldn't buy it.
But he would sell it without the faff.
Yeah, can I just say, I'm not sure on this show to our listeners that we should in any way be trying to tell them not to accept mediocrity.
And with that, let's take the break. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to part two of the first Crowpod of 2024. As always, scroll down, go help our friends at Famous Headwear at coo.uk, blueroomart.co.uk. I swear to God, I'm getting caught up with everything. I was trying to do it. Well, as David knew, like last week, I was like, my wrist is finally feeling better. Everything's fine. I'm starting to feel pretty good.
What did you do? Tell them what you did.
I tried to put dishes away. And some, you know, like I was lifting the plates, like a stack of plates to put them into the cupboard.
See, this blows David's mind because he has staff for that.
Yeah. wait. You were washing up and then placing them back in
the... It's the cleaner's job. I put dirty dishes into the washer and she then... gets them out and gets them away. Yeah. Right, listen, you guys, I'm a fucking entrepreneur. I keep the economy going. I'll have you know.
We just got done watching The Crown. We finally rattled our way through that. By the way, Jonathan Pryce looks more like Prince Charles now than he looked like Prince Philip then. But there was one line where Prince William is talking to his grandma, the Queen, about going over to dinner at Kate's house, and they ate and just tells her that they eat in the kitchen, and she goes, "Why would they eat in a place where the staff is?" You know.
So anyway, look, if my record of also not only being hit by cars or various, you know, being punched by random people, but I can also just injure myself doing a wash up at home. So yeah, that fucked my, and then I've been like right now I'm sweating quite profusely because this is probably the longest I've sat up and done something continuously since Monday, since I got home.
Sure.
So it's
there's also a play of age at that point too, because like last week I got a huge knot in my bicep and no idea why. It just hurt to do everything. And no, I didn't. Like, I woke up and went, oh, I guess this is my life now.
So this is you're like, yes, you can wake up. Yep. You can hurt yourself sleeping. Yes. Welcome to our world, right? There will come a you younger listeners. There will come a time, right, when you go to bed and you wake up and you've hurt something.
Yes,
despite being asleep.
Quite profoundly too. Yeah. Not in like a small way.
They don't fucking tell you this in the brochure. By the way, I have a dog update. People might be wondering what's happened.
There you go. Yes.
I text the dog walker.
Duggate 2024, right here.
I text the dog walker, and he said that Sally, my wife, had been in touch to say that the appointment has been put back, so he's now to arrive at 4. So for those of you checking on the clock, that's another 5 minutes, and he will be here. We will still do this live broadcast. Okay. There's a van coming up my drive. I have no idea what this is about.
Well, yeah, Jesus, it could be a Funko Pop, for fuck's sakes. I mean, who knows?
It's a delivery. It's 24/7 in my life, I'll have you know.
Not a great day for Doug's, because mine woke up at 2:30 in the morning and decided to barf in the kitchen. So, So,
but hey, credit. It went to, you know, a place that's wash off friendly. You know,
correct.
Didn't do it on a rug.
So. No, exactly. He's gotten very smart about that. But could Todd get back to sleep after cleaning up barf? No.
It depends on the
sleep 1 hour after the alarm went off? God, yes. So I've just been in a fucking deficit all day. It's just horrible.
It's the thing with being ill like this, where it's, you know, like you get so tired for no reason, like 5:30. And you're like, oh, okay, all right. You know, I'm just sitting on the couch. And then, you know, you fall asleep for like, and then you wake up on the couch and you're like, oh, I should go to bed. But now you've already been asleep for 3 hours.
Yes.
And it takes you another hour to fall back asleep once you're in
bed.
And then you wake up at like 1:30 in the morning because now you've been asleep for 7 hours and now everything's all fucked up again. And then, of course, you have to go to the bathroom to vomit or shit or both.
Yeah. Right.
So good to do it in there, by the way, just as a side note. Also,
if you can't make it there, try the kitchen. Make sure.
Oh my God. There was one on, I think it was Tuesday night. Like I was laying there on the couch and like, you know, all I'd done was like drink water. Right. Mm-hmm. That was it. Like I was right in room temperature water too. Cause I was noticing if I drank very cold water, it was, you know, disagreeing, shall we say. So, you know, try and drink room temperature water. And I took a drink and I was like, oh, okay, I got to lay down, get comfortable. This'll fade. And then the second I laid down and my, you know, the contents of my stomach shifted from that way to that way. And I broke out in that cold, I don't know if you, I get the cold sweat right before I'm going to vomit.
Yeah.
I was like running into the bathroom, throwing the door open, just vomiting all over the floor. Half of it got into the toilet.
Holding onto the sick coming out of his mouth.
Oh yeah. For local UK reference, for local UK reference, that was me and the Inverness Youth Hostel.
Yeah. Well, I will give you an alcoholic's tip. Here is an old alcoholic's tip, and you're going to hear this and wonder why it took me so long to realize I might have a problem. I used to, when I was going out for a heavy drink. And there are various stages of those. I'm going out for a pint. That means four or five. Right. I'm going out for a couple of pints, 8 or 9. I'm going out for a few
probably pints. A couple shots in there too.
Yeah, I'm going out for a few pints. I'll see you on Thursday, right? That was basically the code. So if it was one of the latter ones, before you go out, eat a bowl of tomato cream soup and a jam sandwich. And the reason for that is, one, the soup coming back up is smooth.
Right.
And two, the jam sandwich is sweet. So it's not as unpleasant.
Yeah. Okay. So
this sounds like Renton's detox session at the beginning of Trainspotting.
At one point during the vomit, like I had stopped vomiting, right? For at least 12 to 16 hours. And I was like, okay, maybe I got now that's gone. This just got to clear out the other end. I'm good. And she had made at some point in this session of me being horribly ill, like a pesto spaghetti pasta.
No, you're in no position to be example.
With shrimp.
Fuck right off.
Was she out of tabbouleh? What the fuck?
Because I ate it and I made it about. Why? To that, because I'm fucking delirious, Dave, and I've sweat every goddamn fluid out of my fucking body. I made it like 2.5 hours after I ate it. Oh no, this was actually the one where I had to go sprinting into the bathroom. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was not. Oh, that tasted awful coming back up.
Why don't you have two sticks of butter and a tandoori?
Well, I have a breaking news update. Here comes the dog walker.
Here we go.
As promised, David is approaching. David is stopping for some reason at my front door.
Folks, we've got live coverage of David being so fucking lazy, he's handing his dog off to a dog walker take him to the veterinary.
He's actually stopped because the
exclusive crow pug coverage.
It's bin day. He's stopped because it's bin day, right? And he's taking my bin out. So.
David, exclusive again here. David is so fucking lazy.
This is
that
David.
His dog walker is taking his bins out, folks.
Right, Matt. Now I'll see you when you get back. Bye bye. There you go. See, and that is how it's
unbelievable.
And that is how it's done. And it's hardly my fault. It's hardly my fault that you two are so fucking tight that you won't support workers in your local area. I support cleaners and gardeners and butlers and David, and I do that at the kindness of my heart because I could do stuff if I felt like it. Right? I mean, I could.
No, you couldn't. No, you couldn't.
Not now. No. I mean, it's been years.
Cut to 20 minutes after we're off air. Wipers!
Yes. No, actually, see, when Shane was talking about that, having the downstairs problems that he mentioned, upstairs isn't great, but the downstairs ones are bad for me because, and the boys from Heart and Hand find this absolutely hilarious. And
because you have to shower every time.
I have to shower every time after it, yeah. And therefore, when I get the runs, I basically have like maybe 5 or 6 showers a day. And by the end, the other problem you've created is that your skin resembles Johnny Hayes' skin. Right?
See, we're tying everything back full circle here.
Johnny Hayes' hands look like, you know, if every time he masturbates, he might as well just use a cheese grater. Like
the cruelest thing I've ever heard said, and I don't support this. I'm telling you this so you can be appalled at it, right? The cruelest thing I've ever heard was someone once described Johnny Hayes as looking like Deadpool's foreskin.
Beautiful.
Beautiful. Now, I'm disgusted by that, and I hope you are as well.
I would say disgust.
There's something happening outside. I was laughing at this.
I believe the words harsh but fair come to mind.
Are you talking about the skin complexion yet again? Is that
A friend once described something I said to another friend as harsh but cruel. Which is still one of my proudest moments in life.
Life, really. It's
we have some sirens. There's the update.
How come it says a lot that I knew quite fine well that wasn't Todd?
I'm in a soundproof studio. I got nothing. You know, I am.
It's the thing, too, is we haven't been doing Tuesdays. Somehow the first of the month, the past couple times, you know, once we had, I don't know if we had a match or what, and then obviously we were playing this Tuesday. But we missed the first of the month tornado siren.
Which
we used to not do this during the winter, right? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, you don't really get tornadoes, say, between the months of, I don't know, October and February, because, you know, didn't happen.
But now they
happen. So, we just get the tornado siren practice year round, which is very disconcerting to hear that 10 o'clock on January 2nd. That was, I was like, wait, hold on, are we, they do this all the time now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Quite right, too.
Yeah.
Well, I just love the idea of the tornadoes all gathering together at an airport. And going, so where are you heading off to Tenerife, mate? going to take in a wee bit of, you know, take in a wee bit of sun. It's really fucking cold where Shane lives. So, when you're back.
I think that's why, because I have been like consistently ill all late fall into the winter. And I think it's because it's still not winter. Like it's borderline cold. But it's only snowed twice and it melted right. Yeah, I don't know, Todd. I'm sure you guys have the same thing because that's how it usually works. It's not winter yet.
It was actually winter this morning as I was walking my very vomity dog.
I was walking in my vomity self. So
right, it was minus 15. Felt like minus 40 when the fucking wind blew in your face.
Yeah.
And we had a light frosting of snow, and this weekend apparently we're getting a big dump of it. So I get to fire up the old snowblower again.
Have either of you been watching the darts?
I know you have.
I have, yes.
I've just been sitting here.
How'd the 16-year-old tubby fella do?
He lost in the final.
Oh, yeah.
I don't feel too bad for him. He's £200,000 up.
Of course he is. Right.
So, you know, he's doing
well. And that'll be good for his wife and four kids. So
yeah. Somebody said to me, what would you have done, David, if you'd won £200,000 when you were 16? I said, I wouldn't have made 17. But no, he's phenomenal. And yeah, again, sometimes when you get someone along, apparently it was the highest ever non-football audience on Sky Sports for but it led to the annual infighting in Heartland between the people who like golf and the people who like darts. And the annual argument about, well, one's a game and one's a sport, right?
And both are unwatchable.
Darts is
how about that?
Darts is extremely watchable. Darts is
Stephen Fry likes darts, right? And he's cleverer than all of us. So that's everything. But we had our sort of annual fight on it. And it got one of the points I made in the defense of darts. And I'm sure all the golfers listen. We're bound to have golfers listen. Scottish people have got a weird relationship with golf.
I mean, look, I've golfed plenty of my time, but,
you know. Mm-hmm. I Robin Williams' really bad accent bit here.
Basically, yeah. But, but you know, Scottish people love it. But they love darts too. We've had quite a few world champions because we're in pubs a lot. And I've got no objection to it being a pub game, but put a bit of respect on its name. And I'll tell you for why. You know the reason why Britain had an empire? And Shane, there's a World War II reference coming up.
Hold on. Give me a second.
Get the music ready.
Right, get the Pepto into you right now, Shane, just in case.
Do you know why Britain had an empire? Right, it's because of people, thank you, who played darts. And I shall tell you for why. Right? Imagine. You are the recruiting sergeant or the recruiting officer, right? And up comes a young man who's a dartist. That's the term they use, a dartist.
Dartist!
It's an artist and darts player, right? So imagine it. A young man comes up and he says, God, I love that music. He says, right?
Christ.
He says,
can't take it.
Up comes the darts player and he says, tell me, young man, what special skills have you got? He said, well, I can repeatedly, accurately fire a projectile.
At 3 centimeters wide.
At a target, at a very small target, and repeatedly hit it. And through history, the recruiting officer would say, you can be a longbowman, you can be an archer, you can be a sniper, right? Brilliant. Mm-hmm. Help us maintain and gain our empire, win the war, defeat the Nazis after shameful, you know, you lot not turning up till you got personally attacked. But, right?
Canada was the first in by virtue of time zones.
Yeah, Canada. I wasn't talking to you, right? You got hauled in because you got told. And of course, being Canadian.
We were in before you because of time zones.
Canada were in. But, then the golf guy comes up and he says, young man, tell me, what are the special skills you're bringing? And he said, well, I can hit a wee ball into a hole. And the recruiting sergeant goes, that's nice. Maybe you can be a typist.
See, David, he wouldn't be drafted in the first place because his father would make sure of that.
That's true, because his name would be his name would be like Smedley Ballkiss the Fourth or something, right? And you're right, his dad would own half of Indiana. Yeah,
he'd be assigned to Bleckley in some supervisory position.
And another thing that hit me out of the crown, it's Kate Middleton's first boyfriend before she's with William. I am not a huge fan of the name Todd.
I am saddled with it.
No one is. You shouldn't be, right? It's like when you think of like all the shitty characters that are in sitcoms, Todd, they're always that.
Wasn't that one of the jokes in Community that?
Even though
he was like the nicest guy on the show, he was called Todd.
Yeah, to the point that when I would be having. Nice times with women. If they ever said my name, it took me right out of it. I was just like, oh no, just don't.
Be honest, whenever anybody of my partners said your name out loud, it took me right out of it as well.
Sure, I bet. When was he here?
What?
Trust me, I am not that great at it. If ladies, if you're ever thinking about it, it's like, oh, Todd, That's funny. I could do it. No, no, no. Firstly, I'm married. And secondly, if it wasn't for the subpar fucking, you would never know I was But I thought to myself, like, yeah, this is a horrible, horrible name. But then they introduce the boyfriend of Kate Middleton before she hooks up with William. And his name is Rupert. And I went, I'm off the hook forever.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I am off the hook.
There are certain names in which, right, I've always been fortunate to have a fairly boring, it's never a cool name, but nor does it ever, it's always in the list of top hundreds, you know, it never really goes away. There's always right. David's, right? It's a fairly straightforward name. So I've never had any complaints about being called biblical. David. I can live with that, right?
Yeah, any Bible name, you're pretty well.
You're pretty safe, yeah.
You're always in the mixer somewhere.
Right? Yeah, exactly, right? It's never the
like my cousin Herod, you know?
Yeah.
He's good.
Yeah. Oh, Uncle Jebediah over there.
Yeah, right? my cousin.
Arabus, he's coming over. It's good, yeah.
Yeah, Nebuchadnezzar.
Rocking with Ezekiel later for some darts. Yeah, that's
yeah, I can be Prime Minister or President, right? My name is not going to rule me out. If you are called, for example, and I apologize to our listeners in advance, it's not my fault, it's your parents, you're never going to be a rock star or the president if you're called Colin. It is simply not happening. You can work in IT, right? You can work at a desk somewhere, and you will be a very nice man that people like. But nobody,
Colin Armstrong, for example,
right?
Nobody,
you can be the United States Secretary of State.
Yep,
can do that.
Nobody,
and they'll pronounce it colon.
They pronounce it wrongly, yeah. But nobody can say. Can you imagine? You're at a party. You're backstage, right? You've just seen the hottest rock and roll band of the era, and somehow you've invigorated. And there are ladies there, and there's bottles of Jack Daniels, and the guy comes up and says, "You want to take some of this coke?" Colin, it's not ever going to happen. It just isn't a thing. And like I say, you know, you can blame me for pointing it out, but you're just shooting the messenger. Go and see your parents tonight and say, seriously.
I will say this. Even though he was in a band in the 80s and he toured around and he was from the bottom of the earth, but they were quite popular. Colin Hay of Men at Work, I'm sure got a little bit of, so he got some road pops, is what I'm saying, you know.
Oh yeah, no, I've watched him do them here. So.
Yes.
You're just, in room? Yeah, you know, Ozzy Osbourne. That's a fucking rock and roll, isn't it? Sure. That fuck Ozzy, yeah, man, fuck shit up, right? That's good.
If your name's Jimmy John.
Jimmy, you practice practically compulsory. Jimmy, yeah, you just have to be a rock star.
You're set.
They take you out and go, there's your guitar, good luck, right? I mean, that's it, absolutely. They're a rock and roll names. Sally, peculiarly, is in, she's got about 3,000 fucking songs to choose from in rock and roll history. Yeah.
Right.
And she's just come into the room to ask why I'm talking about her.
Right. And the dog's back.
She was just inquiring where the dog was.
Right.
Yes,
he's in much more able hands now, Sally. Do not worry.
Yeah, no, right. That'd be fine. It'd be absolutely fine. But yeah, there are just like certain names that lend themselves to certain things that you have. Yeah, like you wouldn't trust a lawyer, I think, mm-hmm. who was called, I don't know, Filbert, right?
You
know,
you need
to have. There are certain names for certain. What do they call it? Nominative determinism.
Yeah, nominative determinism. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Here's so I just did a very quick Google search of famous Collins in history.
Yep.
Okay. There's 8. Human
history. There's 8.
There's 8. I'm sure there's more, but they stopped me at 8. And I will say this: 2 things that when I look at this list, I'm happy that a Canadian made the top 5.
Call
and I will say this. After that 5, there's a severe fucking drop.
Right,
because
I'm trying to think of what hockey player is called Colin.
Colin Farrell. And then the second one, and I get to do this because it drives my wife nuts, because every time I see his name, I just have to do the impression of him, which is Colin Farrell.
Right. Ah,
Colin Farrell. Yeah. That's right. The previously mentioned Colin Powell.
Yeah.
Right. Colin Kaepernick.
So number 4. That's with a C. I'm thinking.
And Colin Mochrie makes a number 5.
Yes.
Wow.
And now,
okay.
Fasten your seat belts. This is where the dip happens. Colin Egglesfield. Who?
No idea. No right? idea.
I think didn't he win a treble for us?
I don't know. Yeah. Colin Morgan. Again, crickets. And this one's just fun to say. Colin O'Donohue. Just sounds like the end of a roller coaster. Colin O'Donohue.
It does slightly back up my point, I have to
right.
say.
Yes.
But yeah, just what I was thinking about. Like, again, I was thinking about names. If you go into a room, right, and you know, you're waiting to see a doctor and you're waiting to get results, and she comes in and her name is something like Tiffany Starlight, then you're going to worry about what is about to be given to you.
Right.
If you got a good boring name like right. Robert Williamson.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a doctor's name. Similarly, you know, I think it's one of the great flaws of the latter stage of the American presidency. Mm-hmm. Because we used to have like Millard, right? Woodrow. We had good yes. names. Right. And now they're all just, you know, get Jimmy, Ron, right. Bill, George.
We have a fucking Doug.
Yeah.
There's something very Canadian about having a Doug.
Oh, yeah. Of the Collins that I mentioned, guess which one I met?
Colin Mochrie.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I wasn't as hard as you maybe thought.
Oh, what the fuck?
Yeah. Yeah.
I was waiting for the Colin Firth story to come.
Colin Powell, actually. I gave him some advice.
See, out of all these Collins, which Canadian Colin the Canadian? Right,
which Canadian Colin did I meet? But actually, it was the best time. Like he's been on the previous podcast that I had. He's actually been in my house. And I was at JFL, and it was like the Funny or Die party, which is just massive. It's just like everyone tries to get in there. It's chock-a-block. You can't move. And so I'm trying to edge my way this way, following a friend of mine. And I turn this way quickly just to get a little bit of space. And Colin Mochrie and I are nose to nose. And he goes, Todd. And I go, Colin. He goes, I looked at him and he looks distressed. I go, you look like a man who needs to find some air. He goes, absolutely. And I went, let's go get some beer with that air. And so we just found a quiet area and just like, you know, had a couple of beers and just talked comedy and not crowds. It was lovely.
I've seen him live because it was a bit of an early 90s legend, Colin Mochrie, because he was on Whose Line, one of the very regulars, him and Ryan Stiles, who I believe, and I might be totally wrong here, is that his partner, was his partner? I'm not sure if they're still together, but
I have no idea. Todd.
To be honest, though, that was addressed to you, mate.
Yeah, I was going to say.
You know the guy, but
he knows the answer. Just don't mind the light clicking in the background.
He's right. I'm just like,
yeah. Just hang on. But they were on it a lot. The sort of originals with like Tony Slattery and Paul Merton,
right?
Clive Anderson. So they did like a tour. Whose Line Is It Anyway? Tour. Mm-hmm. And I still remember one of the best intros that you'll ever get as a comedian, I think, especially an improv comedian, was Clive Anderson was introduced. And he says, now Paul Merton, the man of 1,001 voice.
Right.
Which I just loved.
Right.
Oh, yeah, I didn't do any questions this week.
You lazy bastard.
Yeah, no. I honestly wasn't sure if I was going to do a show until I was like, Thursday, let me see what's going on.
Well, I bet you're glad you did it now.
Right. I mean, it's good. You know, I'm gonna have to change my shirt because I've sweat through this one. But you know, past that,
you know what? We should get one of David's staff to put out the questions for us. You know, so
that's
that
it's
so that we can just focus on being this.
Inquire as when you're staff as a Crowpod intern. That would be
yes.
Yeah.
Oh, God. No, we pay people. We pay. We are not.
So that I can stop looking up Patricia McDonald as Ryan Stiles' wife. Okay.
Yeah. So I was wrong then. Right?
Fair game, but you know, I wasn't going to jump in. I could have been missing something.
It was a very well known rumor at the time. My apologies, but there's nothing wrong with it.
No.
Homophobic asshole, Todd.
No. This is the most comedian thing when you look at the write-up. In 1981, Ryan Stiles met Patricia McDonald at Punchlines, where she was a waitress. They married in 1988. Of course. It was a comedy club waitress. Of course.
But, you know, Elton John was married. Just saying.
Of course.
But you get these urban legends, I suppose, right? And some of them are like the scary ones, you know, on that hill someone was murdered. But the one that everyone of my generation knows, and I was told that it was the same myth, but previously it was David Bowie, right? Okay. In the 70s, it was David Bowie. In the 80s, was that Mark Almond once had to have his stomach pumped and they removed 2 pints of semen.
Oh, fuck, I remember him.
And okay. that was the one. And so if there are any younger listeners, can you tell me what the 90s, 2000s, and 2010s, who had 2 pints of spunk removed from their lower colon? Because apparently it was David Bowie in the 70s, Mark Almond in the 80s.
George Michael, surely, wouldn't he?
He would probably have been in the running, yes. Yeah, for the 90s there. I'm glad we've moved on in such time, but yeah, you get these daft urban legends that pass about that people.
Right.
Although then again, the one about Jimmy Savile turned out to be true.
No, I'd be less concerned about the amount of semen in his stomach as much as his jaw locking up. Mm. That would be.
This show is taking a real, real bad turn.
Let's talk about reffing again.
Yeah. I don't know. Surely our listeners are mature enough at this stage of the game to understand that there might be a turn to jism every so often.
And there's your episode title.
Colin turns to jism.
Well, we've already lost the whole Colin segment of the audience.
That's true, yeah. Fuck these guys.
Yeah, we had all one of them that listens.
Yeah, yeah, right. The Collins have currently stopped and have fucked off to speak to the parents.
Right, yeah. But we regained Colin Mochrie, so he's back. Welcome back, Colin.
We like Colin Mochrie, and Colin Farrell, decent actor.
Sure.
Yeah.
And Bruce, again, very good.
You will know no rock stars are presidents, so no. My point is correct.
Colin.
No. One. And for 20 minutes in the 80s, it
doesn't
count. I
was going to say, I'm hardly a rock star at that. I don't know.
He shows up in 1982 on a stage. I'm pretty sure there's going
to
be a lot.
Oh, no, again, the writers, so like he got to be friends with the owner of a place here, who also at one point owned a place in California. Like he kept ownership of this one, but also moved to get whatever. Strange thing. Anyway, the writers that he had were quite specific in terms about those things that had to be provided. Yep. So can confirm. There's your Crowpot exclusive for the second half.
Yeah. Fuck. The old rhyme. No Moe, no Shoe, no Shandon, no Bandon.
Yeah.
That's always the rock star vibe, you know, if they didn't get there. Our ride at New Edmondson House was spectacular. When we provided a rider, because it was me that was providing it, right? And I did remember to get the boys some beer. So there was like, you know, water obviously, beer and M&Ms. That was just three things.
So you can't do that. Was it Van Halen who always did like the odd colored M&Ms to see if they paid attention?
Yeah. I think the Stones as well. And one of the reasons they do that is not because they're fussy or want a particular color. They use that as the trigger to go. They can walk into a green room, see a bowl of brown M&Ms and go, they read the contract.
Yeah.
Because they snuck that one in there. And so if they don't see that, then they go, what else are we fucking missing?
Yeah.
See, like what of the sound is not going to be good?
See, on that, actually, there's quite an interesting thing about, I think it's interesting, about like rock contract, that a lot of these bands, they would have a totally unreasonable or strange thing put into, genuinely things like one tin of cat food must be delivered to lead singer's mum every week.
Mm-hmm.
Right? For the exact same reason that if that didn't happen, right, what else are they fucking us over on? So you would get all these really weird clauses in contracts, and it was purely to check that they'd read it, basically.
Right.
Because let's face it, they should do that. They should do that. You know those things that like Apple make you know, that you've got to agree that you've read when they change their terms and conditions, that no human has ever read.
Right.
There could be any shit in there. We could all offer a kidney. Right, because we've all just tick or Android, whatever, you know. Yeah, sign our terms and conditions, read it, and it's like 5 pages. You know, I'm not fucking reading that. So you tick it instantly. And it could be any of shit in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, speaking of touring musicians, you guys know what Michael Shannon's up to, right? The actor?
No.
Do you know about this? I'll be honest
with you, Todd. My Michael Shannon knowledge is not as great as I would like it to be.
You might know him from such great movies as Man of Steel, Bullet Train, Shape of Water.
Yeah. He's a very good actor. Yeah.
As soon as you Google his face, you go, oh, shit, that guy.
Yeah, that guy. He was always.
He is touring with
Boardwalk Empire.
Yeah, dude.
Boardwalk Empire. Yeah, sorry.
So he's touring with musician Jason Narduzzi, and he is doing, if not just the first, also possibly the second REM album.
Lovely. Yeah. I have seen Jason Narduzzi live. And in fact, as part of, is it Verboten? Bob Mould.
Oh, Bob Mould. Oh, shit.
Oh,
Bob Mould's touring band. Jason Narduzzi was in Bob Mould's touring band. So I've seen him live a few times. Excellent musician.
Oh, he would have to be.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah. Well, basically, with any Bob Mould gig, the bassist and the drummer's job is to play the equivalent of 4 bass lines and 4 speed freaks nailed together really quickly. So, yeah, you've got to be good. But I'd go and see that.
Yeah, I think
it would be good.
Yeah. I tried to pitch that to the missus, and she's like, who? I was like, okay, I've lost.
Never mind. Yeah.
General Zod and the FBI guy in Boardwalk Empire.
Mm-hmm.
Modern General Zod, not Terrence Stamp, obviously. Right. I'd love to see Terrence Stamp doing REM covers. I'd fucking love that.
We got our mission for 2024.
Yeah, there we go. Book him for Rockford in June, Shane.
Yeah,
I'll make it. Okay. Oh, let's do it because I'm
you beat you.
I'm losing it. David, a good one here for us. Lying to sponsor easy.
You know, on both sides of that one.
Quote, they ask you questions to check on your progress, but you can just totally lie, no problem.
Mm-hmm.
I quite like this. Elon Musk rushed to hospital after attempting to impregnate toaster.
Right. I've got the first of all, I will do the reductress because
we missed
one,
that last week. The dog's back.
There we go.
Dog's back already. Good
dog
Lord.
Is back. Dog is back. Cool. Mom taking it personally that you're in therapy. but this one is as I read this one out, I'm looking directly at you, David. Man creates account on GhostbusterBobbleheads.com for faster checkout next time.
Please get the dog. You lost
it. I
muted. Yeah, I apologize. I was getting the dog.
That's all right.
She seems to be all right. David has gone in to share. Another stand-up guy, stand-up name, has gone in to share the information with Sally. And she'll be
the important person. Yeah.
Well, the one who's going to do stuff about it.
I also had a new immersive JFK assassination experience allows tourists to be shot in the head. It's fucking ridiculous. Oh, man.
There's actually a Hold Steady lyric that's we never made it to Dallas because Jackie Onassis said it ain't safe for Catholics yet. Think about what they did to Kennedy and think about your security. Then think about what they'll do to you and me. It's called Don't Let Me Explode, funnily enough. So, if you want to check that out, Hold Steady.
Well, here's a brought in a Rockford classic for the middle aged for the people who remember that, you know, we used to have to actually watch television to see what would come on. Traveler Excited Hotel has HBO until he checks a listing. Traveler Dan Patterson, 27, was delighted to discover that the motel featured the premium channel HBO. until he checked the night's program listings.
Yep, that's it. We've all had that. You've gone and you're like, oh, they've got Sky Sports. No, they do not. No,
Pearson
do
spent not. The evening reading the room's complimentary copy of C. Rockford and Sucking on Ice Cubes.
There you go.
Ah, that's us in 4 months hence, isn't it?
That's it, baby. Get ready. Get ready. All right. Like I said, I'm giving up.
Well done. Well done.
I feel fine. I soldiered through it. That wasn't bad.
No, next
one. Well, I mean, for the winter break, I'm sure we'll be back on Tuesdays. Again, I'm everything caught up, whatever. I'm just seriously, I've either been ill or dealing with a fucking wrist for like it's going on 2 months now.
Yep.
No, it's been a month and a half. It's been a solid month and a half of something being fucked up.
Yeah, very good. Sally, right? I got enough of this shit at home, right? And then I know.
I'm sorry. God.
Get well now. Never mind get well soon, right?
Yeah.
Fucking had it with you ill people.
I'm sick of it, man.
Well, see the I saw this brilliant thing that I might get printed up and put in the wall. You two will be delighted to know I've actually got Sally got me a print. You know Watchmen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, love it.
The book, yeah, same. Yeah, no. She got me a print of "I am tired of Earth. These people, I am tired of being caught in the tangle of their lives," which I think is very apposite. Yeah. But I saw this thing that said it was a tweet actually, and it said, "Be kind because everyone is waging their own struggle that you don't know about, except me. I am loudly complaining about my struggle." Everyone knows about it.
Sir. Sunday, bloody Sunday.
Yes. Beautiful. There's more to Ireland.
I don't know what the hell I'm doing here. Fuck this. David, of course, you can find everything Heart and Hand. Find my Twitter at Ibrox Rocks, etc. Thanks, David.
Nah, pleasure, guys. Get well soon. Genuinely, mate.
Yes. Yeah, I'm trying. I will have this to you, and then I'm going back to bed. That is my plan for the rest of the day. Well, it was like last night, because we usually go out on a Wednesday just to, you know, like, see everybody and get a couple beers. And she was like, I'm not even going to bother asking you. I was like, that's a very good idea, because I'm going to bed at 8 o'clock.
So, yes.
Todd, of course, you can find him on Twitter at HeyIt'sTVA. Find all of his stuff, HeyIt'sTVA.com. You got stuff coming up. Anything that people will see you at?
I've got some warm-up shows for the week that I'm doing at Absolute. So I'll be there January 23rd. January 30th to February 4th, and then at Moose McGuire's on the 5th of February in Orleans.
Excellent.
I'll be doing some warm-up stuff, getting ready for that full week. So, yeah. Come on out if you're in the Ottawa land area.
Yes.
Go see Todd.
Yeah. Fuck it. You know, why not? It's better than listening to this.
If you're prepared to sit through this, go and listen to TZ.
Go do an hour of Todd's set.
Yeah, right. Go listen to A material, right? If you're prepared to listen to this, then go listen to the stuff he keeps.
I think if we cut this down to 7 minutes, it'd be pretty fucking solid.
Yeah. if you're sitting there listening to my part of this going, I wonder what it's like when it's structured.
Yeah.
All right, that's it. Like I said, we'll be back next Tuesday for sure. Hopefully, because it's already Thursday. We'll be back on Tuesday, and then I'll figure out everything from there. So, everybody, be good. Be safe. We'll talk to y'all soon. Bye.
Some people call me the space cowboy. Yeah.
You can't even fucking serious at all.